You know, I think the good place to start from is that cycle of defeat thing that I just stumbled into. I stumbled into it because I didn't plan to really talk about it. But if you will go with me to 1 Samuel, the book of 1 Samuel and chapter 7. 1 Samuel and chapter 7. So what exactly am I talking to you about? Sorry, I don't have the time to go over our confessions, but you get those lovely cards. So after service, you can go over the confession yourself. Amen. What am I talking to you about today? Last week, I was talking about the graces of a successful harvester, and I talked about the grace of joy. And I'm guessing that the Lord did plan that the one I wanted to really, really spend time on last week, I should probably just talk about it today because it lines up better with some of the things that we're doing today with the ministry generally. And this is what I call the grace of help. The grace of help. It's amazing to me how powerful that word help is. Somebody say, please help us, Lord. Say one more time. Say, Lord, please help us, please. It's amazing to me how important the ministry of helps is. Do you know, actually, the ministry of helps is one of the ministries that the Lord put in the body through the Holy Spirit. The ministry of helps. Help is so crucial. Help is so powerful. Help is so important. And the Lord wants to help us. I said the Lord wants to help us. The Lord wants to partner with us. He wants to come alongside us. Now, I want you to read just a couple of verses with me here in 1 Samuel chapter 7. Let me rush through it. Let me give you a little information that can help you, at least quickly get on to what I'm going to say from this passage. This was a season in the nation of Israel when they had gone through defeat after defeat after defeat in their lives. The defeat was so astounding that in fact there was a time that, you know, way back then in the Old Testament, the people of God, they always believed, no matter what is going on, if we can just get the ark of God in, we'll be okay. You know, the ark of God represented to the people of the Old Testament, the nation of Israel, the ark of God represented the presence of God. It represented the Shekinah glory of God. And so, generally, this ark always guaranteed victory. This ark always guaranteed that God will speak to them. This ark always guaranteed that they will find open doors. They will find the hand of God. They will find the help of God. But in this cycle of defeat and this cycle of pain and disappointment that they were going through, even the ark was not good enough anymore. There were times when they would say, the Philistines are coming. Our major enemies are coming. Let's get the ark in. Amen. And so they would get the ark in. And one particular time, they actually got the ark in. When they got the ark into their camp, everybody started rejoicing. Oh, the ark is here, the ark is here. And then their enemies, the Philistines, heard them rejoicing. And the Philistines were scared. Well, why are they rejoicing? And someone told them, it's the ark. The ark is amongst them. They said the ark is amongst them because they knew they never lost a fight if the ark was amongst them. Yes. Unfortunately, on this particular occasion, the ark was amongst them and they still lost the fight. In fact, it was the biggest loss ever recorded. It was so bad that the priest that they had known for years, Eli, died. He said the same day his two sons died, the same day one of the wives of his two sons had a child, and they named the child Ichabod, meaning truly the glory has departed. See, there's no question about it. They said truly the glory has departed. And they came to this place of desperation where they just felt, all right, we're totally helpless. We're, it's over. We're done for. Forget it. There's no help for us in God. You may know a psalm where the psalmist said, the enemies will say there is no help for them in God. But Lord, let them see that you are our help. Amen. One other psalm said, our help is in the name of the Lord. He said in Psalm 124, he started out saying, so what would have happened to us? So what would have happened to us if the Lord had not been on our side? He said, the men would have come upon us. They would have swallowed us up quick. He said, but our soul is escaped out of the snare of the fowler like a bird. Hallelujah. See, the help of God was so desperately needed in that season in Israel, and there was no evidence that that help was there. So that's the prelude to what we're about to read in 1 Samuel. So if you go there to 1 Samuel and read from verse 9, because actually I want you to read from verse 9, but I think you should probably back up, and I want you to see this particular one in verse 6. So in verse 6, of course, there was the threat of the enemy again. The something was about to happen again. And in verse 6, the people of Israel gathered together to Mizpah, and they drew water and poured it out before the Lord and fasted. Somebody say they fasted. On that day, and they said there, we have sinned against the Lord, and Samuel judged the children of Israel in Mizpah. See, that was the day when they made it right with the Lord. That was the day when they came together, and all of a sudden, they qualified for the help of God in places where they had not qualified before. So they came to Samuel when they heard that their enemy was coming against them, and they cried unto Samuel. So go to verse 9. And Samuel took a sucking lamb and offered it for a burnt offering, holy unto the Lord. And Samuel cried unto the Lord for Israel, and the Lord heard him. Somebody say, the Lord heard him. Lord. Come on, somebody say, the Lord heard him. Lord. And as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day upon the Philistines, and discomfited. Somebody say the word discomfited. Come on, say discomfited. And they were smitten before Israel for the first time in years. Somebody said, for the first time in years. Oh God, I pray that your eyes will open to see this one. For the first time in many, many years. After going through cycles and cycles and cycles and cycles of defeat, it wasn't just the children of Israel that God used to. They got accustomed to this cycle of defeat. Now they expected defeat is probably coming again. It wasn't only them. Even their enemy, the Philistines, their adversary, also got accustomed to this cycle of defeat for the children of God. That they just knew, we are going to do it to them again. We are going to do it to them again. That cycle of defeat. But the Bible says, when Samuel offered this sacrifice before the Lord, God rose up and he fought their battles. And in verse 11, the Bible says, the men of Israel went out of Mizpah and pursued. See, they were the ones who used to be pursued. Now they are pursuing the Philistines. And the Bible says they smote them until they came under Bethca. Verse 12, then Samuel took a stone, and he set this stone between Mizpah and Shen. And he called the name of the stone Ebenezer, saying, hitherto the Lord has helped us. Hitherto the Lord has helped us. And the next verse says, so the Philistines were subdued. Say that word with me, subdued. Do you know why they were subdued? Because the Lord helped them. Amen. Their enemies were subdued because the Lord helped them. The Philistines were subdued and they came no more into the coast of Israel. And the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel. It's something the Lord put in my heart to say to you this morning. I don't need a whole lot of time to say it. It's very easy for me to say. I have a lot of supporting scriptures, and I'll read a few more of them just before my time wraps up here. But I want to say this to you as clearly as I can. Things will not be the way they used to be for you anymore. I said, I want to say this to you as clearly as I can. Things will not be the way they used to be for you anymore. God is broken the cycle of defeat over your life. God has broken the cycle of defeat over your life. That history of failure and the history of defeat and the history of pain and the history of just being disappointed and being disappointed and being disappointed. The Lord is saying to you, I'm giving you my help. I'm guaranteeing you my help. I'm going to be your helper. I'm going to stand with you and I'm going to fight your battles and I'm going to give you the victory. Can somebody say amen to that? Come on, say a loud amen to that. Now go with me to Acts chapter 26. Acts chapter 26. In Acts chapter 26, I want to read in verse 19 first. This is Paul's defense before one of the kings. He said, whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. So Paul is saying to this king that he's giving his defense to, I did not disobey the vision that God gave. I didn't deny it. I didn't despise it. I didn't reject it. I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. And then he goes down in verse 23 and he says, having therefore obtained help of God. So God gave the vision. It's like when the Lord gave a promise of harvest. And the Lord says, you are going to harvest. And the Lord says, you are going to reap. And the Lord says, you are going to have an abundance. And the Lord says, I'm going to open doors to you. I'm going to give you possibilities. I'm going to create the opportunity for overflow for you. And you receive that vision from the Lord. You don't deny it. You don't disobey it. You don't reject it. You say, Lord, I'm not disobedient to your vision. If you say go for vision, and if you say go for harvest, then go for harvest is what I'm going to do. I believe that this will be my season of harvest. I believe that every word that you promise is going to come into fulfillment in my life. Well, then what do we need for the fulfillment of that promise? Paul said, having therefore obtained help of God. The Amplified says, but to this day I have had the help which comes from God as my ally. And so I stand here testifying to small and great alike. What is Paul saying? God is my senior partner on this journey. Hallelujah. See, remember that for the children of Israel and the prophet Samuel, the very first time they ever got victory over their adversaries, the Philistines, was when God became their help. God came alongside them to fight their battles and give them the victory over their enemy, and they finally subdued them. Well, Paul said, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, and I obtained help from God. I want to say to you as clearly as I can, the Lord is promising that he is going to help you. Amen. I said, the Lord is promising that he is going to help you. One of the most powerful, most relevant psalms that I have personally encountered in my life on my journey is Psalm 46. I tell you a very little story around Psalm 46 for me. We were in Kaduna, Nigeria, in 1995, February. And Pastor Tinu was heavily pregnant, very close to having our child, our first child. And I remember that my mother-in-law, had flown in just, she came in just in time. You know, we had been trying to work out the timing of that thing so that she could come as a pediatrician. Obviously, she had a lot of experience. She had a lot of, and you know, we were all the way there, out there where, yeah, you know, we had help and it was a very good hospital. But just to know that you had someone in your family who was a specialist and who was, you know, that was just, you know, so we were craving and all of that. And as God will have it, the timing all worked, you know. She went into labor, Pastor Tinu went into labor suddenly. But about the same time, she was already flying in. So Pastor Tinu was rushed, we rushed her to labor. And right there and then, mommy flew in from the airport. Somebody helped me bring her to the hospital because I couldn't go there to get her. And as soon as she arrived at the hospital, she headed into the labor ward. And got busy with the specialists that were helping with this baby. I mean, we had maybe two or three specialists in there. And for a minute, everything seemed to be going well. Of course, they didn't let me get in there. I was somewhere on the outside. You know, they will let you be in the hospital, but you can, you know, of course, you know, I was, it's not like here. When, you know, we're... Here, you can actually stand there and be telling the doctor what to do when they're delivering your baby. Back then, they just have you. They said I was, and there's a glass. There was this glass thing that where I couldn't even see. You know, I mean, I could peep and try to. And you know how I'm trying to see like what's going on back there. But the glass thing, and then the labor ward was right to the corner. So you know, all you could see was you could see nurses going in and out, in and out, and trying to. You know, and then suddenly, mommy, who I know is, she never panics over anything. She never panics over anything. She came out to me where I was in the ward, outside of the ward. And she said to me, there's a problem. I mean, I've never seen this woman panic, ever. I mean, how many, only God knows how many babies she's seen delivered. In her profession. I mean, only God knows. And that spoke to me so powerfully. I don't know. It could have been because it was her daughter. And you know, sometimes, you know, when it's someone you are very close to, all that professional, all that knowledge kind of goes out of the window. It really touches you, you know. I don't know if that's what it was. I don't know if whatever. But what I could tell was I've never seen this woman ever panic. Suddenly, I saw panic written all over her. And she came to me, she said, you know, you need to pray more. She said, you really have to pray. There's a problem. The umbilical cord is wound around the baby's neck. And the doctor does not know what to do. The doctor is very concerned at this point. Well, you know, I was not a doctor. I was a pastor. I was a missionary. So, I did not have a lot of information. I didn't have a lot of knowledge. Actually, I have gained more medical knowledge over the years since back then because I took it upon myself to go read up and learn a lot of those things. But at that time, it was just a lot of red flags for me. And as soon as she gave me the message, I could see written all over her. And I know she was trying not to convey the nervousness or the panic or whatever it was she was feeling. But just seeing her and hearing her telling me was enough. And the moment she said that, she said the babies and the doctor is very concerned. This doctor too is never concerned. said the doctor is very concerned. Well, as God will have it, those were the days in which we used to have these slim Bibles. I don't know how many people ever knew these slim Bibles. They were like these very slim Bibles in sleeves. They were nice, cute Bibles, exactly the size, actually. Like almost the size of these confession cards. Almost exactly that shape and that size. And those Bibles were in sleeves, right? And I went with one slim Bible. I had this one last slim, because I carried everywhere I went. I carried that slim Bible, slim fit Bible, every single place I went. It's like my own big Bible now. This is my big Bible today. This Bible goes with me everywhere I go. I mean that, literally. This Bible goes with me. We needed to fly out. We needed to do a quick one-night flight last week to Raleigh for an event for one of our partners. And we needed to be back in on Sunday morning. And many of you know what was going on. There was this storm, winter storm, that suddenly, we had bought this ticket way earlier in the month, once we committed to that event. And so we had decided, Pastor Tino and I had decided, let's just pack very small so that we're not checking any bags, everything's going to be hand luggage, right? We get, and we had a layover in Detroit. That was our biggest issue, really. Because Detroit was really the center of the big winter storm. As if you remember, those of you who followed that storm last weekend. You don't know it, most of you don't know it, but we actually drove in, it was about 9:30 a.m. on Sunday morning last week. We drove all night. We drove all day on Saturday to Raleigh, drove all night on that Saturday night to get here. We barely just had time to get in the shower and come to the service. And I'm so thankful that the Lord visited with us that last Sunday. I mean, I tell you, and that was one of the Sundays when I kept hearing this thing David used to say, I was glad when they said unto me, come, let us go into the house of the Lord. This was one Sunday I desperately wanted to get into the house of the Lord. For some reason or the other, I just couldn't tell. I was glad when they said to me. It was a tortuous drive. At one point during the drive, in the middle of the night, it was a bad, I don't think I've ever seen, ever experienced that kind of thing. And I drive a lot. There was white out everywhere. Could not see a thing in the middle of the night. 2 a.m. in the morning. Couldn't see road marks. Couldn't see anything. Couldn't see anything anywhere. And suddenly, I started feeling sleepy. I started praying. I prayed. I drank all the coffee I could, but my eyes just, you can't cheat. You can't cheat nature, right? You can't cheat nature. I drank that coffee all day. And we walked almost to the last minute before we headed out, 4:30 a.m. or 5:30 a.m., whenever it was we left out on Saturday morning. We checked into the hotel and went out to this service. We finished from the service, went out to the house. Blessed, greeted, visited, came back to the hotel, changed, got back in the car and started heading back. 2 a.m. in the morning, there was white out all over the place. And I looked beside me, of course, Pastor Tinu was tired. She was sleeping. She was snoring. So I woke her up. I slapped her 2 times. I said, ha ha! She said, what? I said, I need you to wake up. I need you right now. I said, just for a few minutes, I want you to wake up. I said, look at this whiteout. She opened her eyes and she looked. She said, huh? I said, yeah. Whiteout. I said, now what I need you to do is I need you to annoy me. I said, I need you to say some things to make me very upset. See, because I was feeling sleepy. I tried coffee. Coffee didn't work. I prayed. Prayer wasn't keeping me awake. I needed some way to just wake up. And I knew if she could just upset me, I would wake up. I knew that. Now, the amazing thing about it is she didn't take that much time. The moment I said,
I want you to just upset me. Just say some things to annoy me. Ah, she didn't have to think much. Right immediately, the moment she opened her mouth, my eyes woke. I was so upset. I was so upset at what she said. I was so upset. I said, all right, you can go to sleep. Go to sleep now. Go back to sleep. I'm awake. Thank you. How did I get into that? Because they canceled our flight, we had to drive. But while we were parking to drive, my biggest problem was how to squeeze this big Bible in my little carry-on. Because I would not travel without this Bible. I will not go anywhere without this Bible. I will not do it. And I remember at the last minute, there was something I put in the small carry-on. I tell you, maybe what I'm sharing can help you. Don't go anywhere without your Bible. I'm saying your own Bible. I'm not saying the one somebody loans you to read. I'm not saying the one somebody hands you. And I know many of you carry your phones. Awesome, that's good. But I can tell you something. On my phone, I go most places. Actually, yeah, I think I go everywhere with my phone as well. But on my phone, I mean, some things I read on my phone make me upset. Some things I read on my phone make me want to shut it down. Some things I read on my phone, I mean, my phone is a mixed bag. My Bible is always God speaking to me. Always. Always. I never read my Bible and be upset. It's just impossible. When I'm in the midst of a storm and I want peace, I pull my Bible. I open a page, some page there, and peace will settle upon me. Yes. Hallelujah. See, I'm trying to tell you, don't go anywhere without your Bible, because your Bible signifies and it represents the voice of God to you. Well, back to the hospital 25 years ago. Christine is about to turn 25 next month. Back to the hospital in 1995. As soon as mommy left, and all the panic and all the nervousness that I saw on her, I took my Slim Fit Bible. I had it on my hands right there. As soon as she finished, of course, being the very first child, you know how it is. You've never been that road that way before. So all sorts of things were going on there. But immediately I remembered my Slim Fit Bible. I pulled it out of the sleeve. Guess where I opened to? Psalm 46. I opened to Psalm 46. Right there in the hospital room. In that ward where I was. Couldn't see anything going on back there. I'd heard this report that the specialist was really troubled and concerned. So I opened my Bible to Psalm 46. And I started speaking it out loud. I wasn't quietly reading it. I was speaking it out loud in the hospital. I started saying, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, will not we fear, even though the earth be removed, even though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, even though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, even though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her. And that right early. As I was speaking it out, it started coming into my spirit. God will help us today. God is going to help us today. I don't know what is happening in that world. I don't know what the doctor is dealing with. I don't know what is happening. But I do know something. God is going to help us today. It looks like the mountains are shaking. It looks like the whole earth is vibrating. See, remember, at this point, it wasn't just the child, the life of, in my mind, it wasn't just the life of the child that was at risk. In my mind, the thoughts that I was hearing and the images that I was seeing, this image that Satan was trying to put in my mind suggested it was not just the baby whose life was at risk. The life of the mother was also at risk. And suddenly, the realization and the revelation of the unlimited power of God to help his people, came to me. God is a very present help. I want you to notice, the psalmist didn't say he is a present help. No, he said he is a very present help. That is, he is right here, he is right there, right now. Right here, right there, right now. That means no matter what you're feeling, no matter what you're dealing with, no matter how tormenting this situation is, no matter how threatening what you may be dealing with, God is right here, right there, right now. Listen, I said right here, right there. I didn't just say right here. I said he's right here, right there, right now. Do you know what I mean by that? That means he's right here with me. He's walking with me. He's walking with me. He's walking with me. But he's also right there where the battle is happening. Because sometimes the battle isn't happening here. Sometimes it's happening there. Where I can see it. I can touch it. I can feel it. But God is right here. He's right there. Right now. Glory to God. I said glory to God. He's a very present help. That's what that means. He's a very present help in the time of trouble. That means he's right here. He's right there. Right now. He's a very present help in the time of trouble. I want to close this out. Lord told me to tell you, he's going to help you. He's going to help you. He wants to help you. He's passionate about helping you. There are going to be times when you feel overwhelmed. There are going to be times when you feel it's too difficult. It's too big. You don't know what to do with it. I talked a little bit about that last week. Remember, I'm talking to you about the graces of a successful harvester. The Lord will help you. The grace of help will be there for you. The grace of help will be available to you. Quickly, quickly. Lucas, where should I go? I got 5 minutes. Where should I go? Go to Hebrews. Go to Hebrews chapter 13. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. Say with me, the Lord will help me. He's a very present help. In the time of trouble. He's right here. He's right there. Right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I didn't finish that story. So I was going through Psalm 46. I went through it the first time. I came back. I went through it the second time. I came back. I went through it the third time. I must have read in that moment. I must have read Psalm 46 probably 15, 20 times. In that moment in that hospital. Reading it out loud. The more fear was trying to get into me, the more I was reading out, speaking it out. Psalm 46. It didn't take long. As I was reading it out loud, mommy came out with a smile on her face. She said, it's done. It's done. I said, glory to God. He's a very present help in the time of trouble. He's right here. He's right there. Right now. He's a very present help. He's a very present help. Hallelujah. Hebrews 13, look at it quick. Amplify quick. I got to close here. Amplify quick. Hallelujah. He said, for God himself has said, I will not in any way. I'm looking at verse 5. The latter part, second half, verse 5. God himself has said, I will not in any way fail you. I will not give you up. I will not leave you without support. I will not. He repeats it three times. In any degree, listen, watch this now. I will not leave you helpless. I will not leave you helpless, nor forsake you, nor let down or relax my hold on you? He said, assuredly not. Assuredly not. He said, therefore, so take comfort and be encouraged and confidently and boldly say this every day. Say this on Monday. Say this on Tuesday. Say this on Wednesday. Say this on Thursday. Say this on Friday. Say this every day. Every day. Every time you remember. Every image you deal with. Say this all the time. The Lord is my helper. The Lord is my helper. I will not be seized with alarm. I will not fear or dread or be terrified. What can man do to me? The Lord is my helper. The Lord is my helper. Now listen to me, child of God, as I close. There is nothing that is coming your way that God does not have an answer to. He's got it. I said he's got it. It may be spiritual. It may be financial. It may be your career. It may be somewhere in your family, your relationship, in your marriage, with your children. It may be something that concerns your future. I want you to know God's got it. Just like he had it in that hospital room. He's a very present help in the time of trouble. He's right here. He's right there. Right now. Hallelujah. The Lord is my helper. Say that 5 times. The Lord is my helper. 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 Hallelujah. Let's close it out. Let's close it out. I want you to read one of the first lines of our 2020 confession. In Psalm 121, he said, I will lift up my eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help is coming from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not suffer your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade upon your right hand. The sun will not smite you by day. The moon will not smite you by night. The Lord will preserve you from all evil. He'll preserve your soul. The Lord will preserve your going out. He'll preserve your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. So lift up your eyes to the hills from whence cometh your help. This is our last scripture. Last scripture. Go all the way back to Hebrews chapter 4. Last scripture. Glory be to God. Shout it out loud. The Lord is my helper. One more time. Shout it out loud. The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Come on, one more time. The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Actually, you can also say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can the world do to me? Actually, you can also say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can the devil do to me? Actually, you can also say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can circumstances do to me? You can also say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What will situations do to me? Hallelujah. The Lord is my helper. The Lord is my helper. Let's close this out here. Hebrews chapter 4. Glory be to God. Verse 16. Let us then fearlessly, confidently, boldly draw near to the throne of grace. Come. Come to the throne of grace. To the throne of God's unmerited favor to us sinners. That we may receive mercy for our failures and find grace to help. You see, help is a grace. I call it the grace of help. See, help is a grace. This is my last scripture right here. I'm trying to stay here and close. Help me close, Lord. Help me close. Help is a grace. He says, so that you can find grace to help in good time for every need. Now look at those words in parentheses. Appropriate help. Amen. and well-timed help coming just when you need it. The Lord will help you this year. The Lord will help you this year. In the name of Jesus, the cycle of defeat is totally broken. The Lord will help you this year. You will never fight your battles alone. The Lord will help you this year. In your midnight hour, the Lord will be there. The Lord will help you. In your difficult times, the Lord will be there. When you need to make important decisions, the Lord will be there to help you. When you are dealing with thorny situations, the Lord will be there to help you. The Lord will be your helper. The Lord will be your helper. The Lord will be your helper. The cycle of defeat is broken. You are not failing this year. You are not failing. Because the Lord will fight your battles. The Lord will be your helper. He will come beside you and take on the mantle of victory and give it over to you. The Lord is your helper. The Lord is your helper. I just pray for you. I just pray for you that you remember that. Remember to say it every day. The Lord is my helper. The Lord is my helper. And if it's getting overwhelming and you don't know what to do, just say, cry out, say, Lord, please help me. Please help me. Please, Lord, help me. Help me, Lord, help me, Lord. And then once you've prayed that prayer, then switch into faith and declare it, the Lord is my helper. The Lord is my helper. And confidently say it and boldly say, the Lord is my helper. The Lord is my helper. You will not lose. You will not lose out. You will not fail. You will not be stuck in a rut anymore. Where you've been spinning your wheels for years, God will catapult you to an elevated place. The Lord is your helper. The Lord is your helper. He will take you out of the miry clay, plant your feet on the rock to stay. The Lord is your helper. The Lord is your helper. Why don't you just stand to your feet? Let's close this out today. Take communion. Close it out. Close it out and just receive his help into your life right now. In the name of Jesus, I receive the help of the Lord. I receive the help of the Lord. In the name of Jesus, I receive the help of the Lord. For every step that I need to take, I receive the help of the Lord. For every door I need to open, I receive the help of the Lord. For every breakthrough and every situation I need to deal with, I receive the help of the Lord. He's a very present help in the time of trouble. The Lord is your helper. 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 Hallelujah. 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 The Lord is your helper in the field. The Lord is your helper in the backyard. The Lord is your helper in your workplace. The Lord is your helper in your finances. The Lord is your helper in your career. The Lord is your helper in your family. The Lord is your helper in your health. The Lord is your helper. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah.